we gather round the mic, talking ham and freedom, it's all we really like. Transmission waves and laughter in the air tonight. Tune in, live free and ham, it's gonna be a sight. From the underground to your speakers way loud, live free and ham is here, watch us move the crowd. Live free and ham, we're rocking the land with a signal so strong you wanna understand. Freedom and vibe straight from the band, it's the Live Free and Ham.
Yeah! Woo! Woo! I love that tune, man. That is freaking awesome. It's like my anthem every morning. I'm literally going to have to make that my alarm wake-up call.
And really nice with the intro there. I love the new Patreon page. That's cool. Awesome.
Yep, thank you. And again, thank you to all of our Patreon list subscribers there. You know, you guys are definitely helping support the channel, and we love creating this content. So, you know, it gives Paul the fuel to create awesome tunage like that. My gosh, I mean, like, it's just literally, you know, we're going to be producing the top 20s, you know, in no matter of, you know, moments, of days, weeks, maybe. But anyway, all right. Well, hey, if you ever want to get back to that, we will definitely make sure we post that that song there in the show notes, so you can just throw it on your CD player or tape deck if you're as old as me. Listen to it anytime you want. So, you know, like I said, good evening, everybody, and welcome to another Live Free and Ham stream. Yes, you heard it here. We're finally live. Hopefully you got the little notification if you are a subscriber that, you know, we are going live. Like we say, every month we do a live stream, but we don't know when we're going to do it. And so sometimes it's a surprise to us. And once again, this is one that does not fail. So, thanks again for the 17 or so or folks that are currently in the chat there, and that number keeps increasing. So thank you guys for joining in and participating, and give us a shout out and a hello in the chat there. And so, like I said, always, like, you know, Grouch, man, your musical wizardry, man, that intro is always going to be one of my favorites and forever, you know, near and dear to my heart. And, you know, so with that, before we kind of get into our guests, and we've got a special guest, if you haven't figured out based off the thumbnail, we're going to be talking about some really cool things. First and foremost, POTA. We all love POTA here. We're big POTA guys, and we all love doing that. And so we've got some really cool guests that are, you know, love that as much as we do, but they're going to be talking about some really cool things and sharing some of their experiences. But before we get into that, let's kind of dive into our usual housekeeping stuff. So as always, if you're new to the show, you know, you maybe want to swing over to our storefront and you can head over to livefreeandham.com/shop. We just released our sticker pack, and that's got the brand new, I mean, literally brand new off the presses, W1STJ sticker. That would be this sticker right here. You know, if I could hold the can right, that sticker right there. That there's only a limited few there. So, you know, if you want to get your stickers from both N1JUR and Paul, the Grouch stickers, that's the original OG sticker, because I know he's upgraded his stickers since then and we haven't gotten those into the roster. So you'll be getting one of the originals, and once they're gone, they're gone. So, you know, head over there, pick up a quick sticker pack, and, you know, you'll definitely be able to increase your antenna gain, you know, your number of contacts. I mean, the list kind of goes on and on. It's you know, it's like a super Viagra to, you know, the ham radio community. I don't know the best way to describe it, but
yeah, it's a coolness factor times 10 just for adding a sticker.
There you go. There you go. So, all right. Well, and as always, as we always like to say, you know, we've got our Live Free and Ham whiskey bourbon glasses available still in the shop. There are a few left. They've been going out the door very quickly. So if you haven't gotten one yourself, you know, you can head over to livefreeandham.com/shop and pick one up. And if you're a Patreon subscriber, then you know there's a nice little coupon in there. So you can get some money off of your glasses too. So you can pick up a couple of them there because there's no max limit on them. So feel free. But, you know, once they're gone, they are gone. So, you know, make sure if you want to get your Live Free and Ham whiskey glass, you know, then get over there and pick one up. All right. Yes. There we go. There's one there, and I'm sporting mine here. So with that, one last thing. We've got our hammies. Now, if you haven't heard of what those hammies are, those are our little piglets here. Now, these have been making their rounds on the internet, and I've been getting photos from folks that I've been gathering here that hopefully I'll get up on our website soon, from folks that have ordered these and put these out into the wild. And so if you have no idea what we're talking about, well, head over to GetHamed. That's GetHamed.com. check out that page and you can learn more about that whole Hammy project. But more so, these are sort of like, we'll call the token, you know, ducks to Jeeps. And so with that, you know, you as a ham radio operator can now tag another ham radio operator's car. If you happen to catch their antennas on their car and you want to just show them, you know, hey, I recognize your 55 antennas on top of your roof. Don't know what they're all for, but I want to show that I know I recognize them. Then you can take one of these quick hammies, fill in your call sign, and show the love. So you can head over to, like I said, to getham.com, pick a few of those up. But before we get into our guests tonight, we're going to dive into our next wonderful segment that we always do, because we know everybody loves it, because we've taken surveys. We've gotten many people to, you know, give us feedback. Apparently, our show numbers fall off after we do this. So sorry for our guests that are in the show. But after we finish doing, you know, our something extra with Todd, you know, people just check out. So I don't know. I don't know how we can fix that problem, Todd. Maybe get your extra.
Working on it.
So with that, we're going to kick this off.
And now for something a little extra with Todd W1STJ.
All right. Well, you heard it here. This is our wonderful segment where we help Todd get his extra and help him study using hamstudy.org. So without further ado, I'm going to pass it off to our VE Quizmaster. Go ahead, Paul. Take it away.
All right. Let's get the proper view here. So Todd, moving on, we are finally up to sub-element number 8, which only leaves 2 more sub-elements to go before we can start doing all questions and testing your overall knowledge of your extra study. So question number 1 for this evening: why should the phase of a PSK signal be changed at the zero crossing of the RF signal? Is it A, to minimize bandwidth? B, all these choices are correct. C, to simplify modulation? Or D, to improve carrier suppression?
Oh boy. I'm going to go with...
not even going to let the music play through. My gosh, wow. Interesting, man.
I'm going to go with D.
Yeah, let me see. It's the phase of a PSK signal. Oh man. I'm going to say B. I always go with the all the choices are correct.
All right. Well, D is incorrect. B is also incorrect. The correct answer is A, to minimize bandwidth.
You're going the wrong way!
So, your explanation tonight, triggering a signal at a non-zero crossing is instantaneous shift. Locally similar to a square wave. From Fourier analysis, we know that square waves require an infinite sum of frequencies. Long story short, larger jumps require more bandwidth. Conversely, take the opposite view. If we want to use the minimum bandwidth, how do we achieve this? With a single sine wave. How does a sine wave begin? At the zero crossing. So your memory hint is 0 equals minimize.
Got it.
Good.
All right. Question number 2. What is described by the constellation diagram of a QAM or QPSK signal? Is it A, the number of bits used for error correction in the protocol? B, how many carriers may be present at the same time? C, frequency response of the signal stream? Or D, the possible phase and amplitude states for each symbol?
Music.
Yes, thank you.
Can I have this when I take the test? Can I have that just in my headphones?
I will send you a WAV file.
All right. I'm going to say B. How many carriers may be present at the same time?
Scintillation diagram. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to go with D. Sounds nice.
So you're in agreement?
Yeah, I guess so. Is that what you say is D?
No, I said B.
I said D.
B. Oh, bravo. Okay.
We are not in agreement.
Okay. Well, B is incorrect.
Yay! Great job.
Yes, the possible phase and amplitude states for each symbol. And so your explanation, a constellation diagram is a 2D plot where each point of the plot represents a unique combination of phase and amplitude of a signal. The phase is measured as the angle counterclockwise from the horizontal axis to the point, while the amplitude is measured as the distance of a point from the origin. Since digital modulation schemes most commonly distinguish signals or transmitted pieces of data with unique combinations of amplitude and phase, constellation diagrams are a useful way to visualize how the information is conveyed in a given modulation scheme. And so your hint, two example modulation schemes used in the question are QAM, quadrature amplitude modulation, and QPSK, quadrature phase shift keying, which together contain both keywords in the answer. You have to study that one a little bit more.
You're a huge embarrassing failure.
Yep. My first day studying, I didn't do very well.
Oh, that's okay. All right. For the third and final question of the evening, what is a common cause of overmodulation of AFSK signals? Is it A, excessive frequency deviation? B, excessive transmit audio levels? C, bit errors in the modem? Or D, excessive numbers of retries?
Sorry.
And we're already getting people answering things in the chat, but you don't know like if it's this question or the last question.
I don't even have the chat open. I think it's either A or D.
You have to pick one.
I know. Let's do A.
Ooh. I like the B.
All right, Todd says A, and A is incorrect.
How embarrassing, live. I get all three wrong.
Eric, you said B?
Yes, sir.
B is
Yay!
Correct.
Well, that, yeah. I know
excessive
what I get tonight.
Transmit audio levels. So your explanation, AFSK, audio frequency shift keying, produces audio that is then sent to an FM transmitter. An FM transmitter modulates its carrier frequency with this audio. If the audio levels are too high, it may deviate more than the allowed specified amount from its carrier frequency, and that's overmodulation. Scrolls fast. The effect is to create splatter across the band, which is visible to the annoyed receivers on a waterfall plot and interferes with their signals. So try to avoid overmodulation as much as possible.
Get off my lawn.
Your memory aid is we're talking about audio frequency shift keying, so the correct answer is the only one that mentions audio.
Well, wow.
Suck.
Thanks.
And for Eric?
It is, and I can embrace that song because I am me and still an extra.
and to answer the question in the chat, apparently Chris Bricker came in a little late. Yes, this is Something Extra with Todd, where we test his knowledge as he's progressing through the extra exam question pool.
And I'm not doing very well lately.
you did fine last time. I mean, last recording, you know.
I know, I got 3 out of 3, and then live, I go 0 for 3. Well, this was a new section. I only studied it for like an hour.
Pressure. That's why we can't live stream your extra exam, because you just crack under the pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, we better not. I'm going to take it, not even tell you guys.
Then that wouldn't be a surprise to us.
Then it just, instead of it says,
to show say, up slash
it'll just say now an extra.
Just we'll put AE in place of you.
Yeah.
And Chris, because you're late, you have to stay after with the VE teacher. All right. Well, as always, you know, if you are on the journey to studying for your technician general or extra class license like Todd is, then hamstudy.org is an awesome resource for getting your ticket. And so if you've also recently upgraded your license, or maybe you are a new licensed technician, you know, we want to recognize you here on our show. So make sure you send us an email or use any of our usual, I just had a 50-year-old brain fart there. Communication methods, my gosh, today, it will be glad to share it with
mission
you.
Mission failed. We'll get them next time.
Yes, we will. So, all right. Well, in our usual format, let's do a little bit of a quick round here for what's going on in your Ham Radio Week. How are you with Ham Radio Week, Paul?
Doing good, really. So I'm putting together all the bits and pieces that I forgot to bring over to the RV to get the mobile Grouch Command Center up and running. We're getting closer and closer day by day, so that's very exciting. I'm 100% looking forward to doing the 75 ohm testing and getting that all up and running.
Very cool. Awesome. Very looking forward to seeing more videos on. I assume you're putting stuff out.
Yeah, the thing is unfortunately for the time being I'm unable to edit videos in the RV, so I gotta make sure that I come home to the QTH and get my video editing in. So that's definitely going to be a priority. I'm gonna make sure I set aside a couple days here this week and next week to at least get some videos finalized and scheduled out, so it'll come.
Very cool. Awesome. Oh, okay, I don't know if I should let the cat out of the bag. Has a link gone out yet?
Which link?
You know what link I'm talking about.
I don't.
You do. What, T.O.?
I did not see a link, but I did. I did get a StreamYard link in the DMs. So yes, if you're not a fan of Coffee and Ham Radios, go check out their YouTube channel and subscribe. I'm honored and a little nervous. To be a guest on their show tomorrow night, 7 PM Central. So yeah, thanks for making sure that everybody gets to know. Yes, Coffee and Ham Radios tomorrow night. Thank you.
The Live Free and Ham guys will be there in full force. You know, like we said, we'll be cheering you, egging you on, or whatever in the chat.
Yeah.
No, we're super excited for Paul. It'll be awesome. You know, he's got an awesome channel. If you haven't been a subscriber, you should head over to check out his channel for sure. He's done some awesome stuff there, and you just hit 3,000. So or just over 3,000 now. So you're now in the big boy territory. So
I just want to say something, which even my son said that this is a bunch of BS. I looked up your QRZ call. You have 10 million views. No, you don't. You don't have 10 million. There's no way. 10 million? Huh?
You're using QRZ as a rule.
I just started going through it and I'm like, 10 million? Come on, Paul. What'd you do?
All right. For those that don't know, on QRZ, the lookups number is an imaginary number. However, if you click on the detail tab, the very top number will show you the lookups, and then in parentheses, it'll show you the real number. And so, yes, so my lookup number is 582,000. No, I'm sorry, 5.8 million. But the real number is actually 8,795. So I'm close to 10,000 lookups.
Okay, but where, I want to know, why do they have why does it say like 5 million or whatever?
Because I threw that number in there. It's an arbitrary thing. It doesn't matter.
You made the number?
Yeah. All right. Clearly, you don't remember our past shows.
I was going to say,
we 100% went through this in a past show.
I forgot.
Where I showed
I'm
you.
I'm older than both of you.
Yeah. Right. That lookup number is an arbitrary number, but if you click on the detail tab, it will show you in parentheses the actual lookup number.
All right.
Legit number.
All right.
Yes.
Well, congratulations anyway. That's how many do you have almost coming up to? Because I think I've got 3 subscribers. So you guys, you're cruising.
You're over 3,000 now. It's whatever now.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, 3,070.
Cool. All right, well, nice. Hot on your tail there. So soon enough, we actually might be able to, by the time you decide when you're going to do your giveaway, I'll be at 3,000 and we can do a dual giveaway.
I love it. Okay. Let's do it.
There you go. All right. Well, okay, cool. Well, enough of shining a light there on Grouch there. So let's throw it over to you, Todd. How was your Hamburger week?
Oh, well, not really happening too much. I did post a little video of my condom antenna. I don't know if you guys saw that, but
yeah, I thought that was a heart attack. Thank you.
What?
Eric, heart attack. Thank you.
Yeah, Eric thought we got hacked, but listen, I had to get my kid broke my antenna accidentally, and I got a new one, and I decided to get the same one, but the new one bent, like it comes down. So I didn't have to take the antenna off every time I went to the car wash. And living up here in New Hampshire, this time of year, your car is covered in salt like almost every day. So I try to get it washed as much as I can. So I was thinking, like, what could I put on there? I was thinking like a bag, a piece of cloth. And then I was like, oh, a bike tube. So I went to my old man's house and I said, hey, you got a bike tube? I think so. Goes down in the basement, pulls up a bike tube, cut it, throw it on the antenna, bend it over. It doesn't scratch the window. Goes through the car wash. I tested it. No problem. Pop the thing back up. We're good to go. So I did a little short little video. So that's basically all I did ham radio, except talk on a repeater.
Condom antenna, patent pending.
Yeah. Works well.
You can check that over at Live Free and Ham, our YouTube channel. And, definitely, lambasted him for creating clickbait.
Yeah.
No, it was a good video, man. Like I said, it threw me off when I first saw it, and I was like, oh man, we got hacked, what the hell? And then lo and behold, I'm like, no, that's Todd. He's popping his video in there. Okay, cool. Whew. All right, all good. So cool with that. I'll pick it up.
Oh, sorry.
My ham radio week went okay. I working on a couple of videos. I finally got the last bit of my, little tools in that I need to finish off my battery cable so I can get my battery box built. So that's coming soon. But tomorrow should be the release of my last section on my HF build for my truck. So if you've been dying to wait to get that out there, that'll be airing and that'll go over all of my cool additional gear and bags and, other stuff that I got in the truck. So if you're looking for that, you can check that out and it should be going out tomorrow. But outside of that, we've been planning for this one. Been definitely looking forward to talking about our guests tonight. It sounds like it's a really cool. We're going to be talking about International Women's Day, but we're going to talk it from a POTUS kind of slant here. And I know in our club last year, I kind of got a little bit of info on this. I can't remember where I picked it up or where it came from, but we had a few ladies in our club had mentioned that they wanted to kind of do it. So we were supporting them and they got out and, did a POTA themselves. And it sounds like it's, gaining traction this year. So we brought on a couple of really great people. So let's bring on, Shannon here, and Judy and, Angela and these ladies, say hello, go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
All right, cool. Well, we're going to dive in a little tonight. We're going to obviously want to, talk to them more about POTA because that's, an area we could talk for hours on. But more so, we want to, to bring, some awareness to obviously something that these ladies are pioneering and starting out and doing that's really, really cool in the hobby that I'm pretty stoked as. If my wife was actually a ham radio operator, she'd be out there doing it herself too. But maybe I can convince my daughter to get out there and, participate in the event. So with that, let's kind of we'll start there. We'll start at the high level a little bit. So, you know, maybe Shannon, you want to kind of talk a little bit of, you know, what the whole basis is around, International Women's Day and POTA and kind of where it kind of came from. And we'll start there.
Yeah, for sure. So it was something that I kind of thought of late in 2023. And, I was really getting into POTA, and I think ham radio is just more fun with friends. Maybe you guys agree with me. So, I wanted to do a group POTA, maybe with some other ladies in the area of where I live. And then I thought about it and I was like, hey, why don't I just try to open this up to like all ladies everywhere, get together on the same day and do some group POTAs. And, especially for maybe more experienced people, helping out newer people that maybe haven't tried a POTA before, maybe they don't have a portable radio, they would be able to get together with some friends and kind of learn what it's all about. And it just kind of grew from there, I made like one post about it on social media, and people started picking up on it and contacting me about it, and they wanted to Desiree Backus, who's like a public relations person with the ARRL, got in touch with me, and we started talking. She got it on Amateur Radio Newsline, and she got it into QST. So I was really surprised how excited people were about it.
Now, was the start of this basically we'll call POTA party, you're calling it a POTA party, right? Is that the kind of the official?
Yep.
Okay. Now, yep. Did its roots actually start last year, or did it kind of build up and then the first official year was last year and then we're going into our second year? What's kind of the backstory to the, getting it really, some traction under it?
Yeah, that was pretty much it. I mean, I just thought of it and, kind of, like I said, late 2023 was sort of when I started promoting it. I was like, well, I should probably start sooner rather than later, because if you start at the beginning of the year, it's like March is going to be here before you even know it. Right. So, I kind of started promoting it, maybe around like December or so of 2023. And then it just gained all this traction for 2024, and 2024 was the first year. And then, people started reaching out to me, late in 2024, they were like, hey, are we going to have International Women's Day POTA party again? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, of course, you don't need my permission to do it.
But you're the leader. So that's just the way it works. You own it. So,
yeah, I guess it's kind of my baby now. So
very cool. And so Judy and Angela, how did you guys kind of get involved in it? Did you just start, hearing about it and just jump in, or are you guys kind of spearheaded in your group, or, kind of what's your backstory? Maybe start with Judy.
Okay. Several of the, our ham group here in our community had, several women in it, and, we picked a local park, Parker Dam State Park. And like I always like to say, I picked it because it has heated restrooms in the middle of winter. and all YLs can appreciate that. And I posted it on Facebook, and we started collecting. So we ended up with five ladies last year. And awesome. Angela's coming again. Angela comes from New York here. So that's how it happened.
That's cool. Okay. So Angela, your first year was, kind of share that experience a little bit. Obviously, did you also head down to Judy's neck of the woods when you did it the first year, or is this your first year?
Yeah. The last year was my first year with Judy, and I did it with Judy. Judy and I met in other POTA events and stuff. So when she posted that she was doing it, I was like, I jumped right in. We're like, it's only about 3 hours for us. And we go down that way all the time into the Pennsylvania. So I was like, I'll go to this. And we now meet up all the time.
Very cool. Awesome. Okay. So, so this year is obviously the second annual year for all you guys in doing this. What's kind of, have you gotten a lot more interest just in general from people? Like, I mean, Shannon, you were kind of sharing that a little bit. What's it look like this year for you guys?
Well, we were talking earlier about how this year it looks like maybe we're going to have some snow on the ground. So, we'll see how it goes, with that. But, you know, I'm still, planning on being out there, even if I have to activate from my car. You know, as my most important thing is just, you know, get on the air, have fun, encourage other women to get on the air. And don't be shy. You know, that's one thing I hear a lot. You know, as Judy mentioned, we're in a lot of the same Facebook groups that are sort of directed towards women in ham radio. Mm-hmm. And so many women say that they have mic fright and they don't know what to say. And POTA just makes it so easy because you don't really have to worry about sitting there and rag chewing or you know, talking too much about your station, because maybe you don't know that much about your station yet, because maybe you're just new. So, you know, just kind of learning to listen, give the signal reports.
Now, would you guys normally encourage, you know, obviously first time, say, YLs in general that were, you know, they may not have done POTA before, to just try to find a local event to them and go just, you know, observe? And or would you, you know, select the opposite and say, hey, jump in and try it out and have fun?
Oh yeah, I would definitely say, like, you know, why observe? You know, definitely, you know, go if you hear about an event in your area, which, you know, I've been you know, telling people, like, even telling, you know, men, you know, if you have wives, sisters, girlfriends, mothers, daughters, even just tell the people in your club, you know, maybe they know other YLs that are in the club, you know, get together and, you know, let that new person get on the mic for a little bit and call CQ and see what it's all about.
Now, Shannon or sorry, Judy or Angela, how are you guys? Do you have something a little bit more formalized? Are you going to have more people this year at your events, or, you know, kind of what's that? Describe to us a little bit of what that looks like.
I thought we had a pretty good turnout last year. If you can show the picture, yep. How does that work?
Yep. You're up.
Okay. These are the ladies last year. Angela's on the right, next is me, and the three ladies on the end had never activated POTA before. The lady on the far left was not even a ham operator.
Is she ham now, or?
She's interested and she is studying. Okay. I have another woman who's interested this year that I've heard from, and Angela is coming back this year.
Yep.
So hopefully there'll be a few more of us.
Awesome. And it sounds like it's definitely growing. Now, have you, any of you guys heard from other ladies, obviously on the Facebook groups or whatever, that they're, you know, advertising their, you know, POTA party in their neck of the woods, and do you have any, you know, areas you can kind of share that you might know of that's coming about?
I know of some people in Mississippi and in Florida that are going to be operating that day, so they're going to be having some groups meet up and get on the radio.
Cool. Okay. Now, do you guys have you? I mean, obviously, you had ARL back you a little bit in terms of helping out with the process and promoting it, and whatnot. Have you, you know, heard from, you know, beyond kind of like the Northeast area in general, or, you know, have you heard anything international about it at all from any other ladies in groups that they've shared any of their experiences?
Not me. I bet that's Shannon's area of expertise.
That's totally okay. Shannon, have you heard anything at all from other ladies from their, you know, stories or their setups outside of, you know, say the Northeast in general, or you find it's just mostly centered to us?
No, definitely people across the country. I did remember hearing about some international stations last year as well. I'm very in touch with a YL in India, actually. Her name's Bharathi Devupalli, and she does a lot to get YLs on the air where she is in India, and she was actually just traveling in the U.S. This past year as well.
Oh, very cool. Okay. Awesome. Now, before I kind of segue a little bit, guys, Paul, you got anything? Todd, you want to throw in?
Well, so just for everybody that's joining us and everybody that's going to watch this in the future, right, so that they can reach out to you or wherever they can find information, right, where can we tell people to go to get signed up or get more information?
Yeah, for sure. So they can always email me, kc1oht@gmail.com. Super easy to remember. But there is a Facebook event, International Women's Day YL POTA Party. And I can drop that link in the chat if that works.
Add those absolutely
for you guys.
Very cool. So... Paul, Todd, do you have anything you want to throw at him? Or
no, I think it's a great. I think it's great that you guys get together, and I think it's really pretty cool that you've got someone in India that you're communicating with, who's kind of helping, kind of spread the word, you know, worldwide. That's pretty awesome.
Now, in terms of the whole, is it okay to call it a program? Because in essence, it's kind of like a little grassroots thing for you guys right now. Are you kind of looking to expand it to make it bigger in its nature, or are you just kind of like feeling it out and figuring out where you want to go with it over the next couple of years? Shannon?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely be happy if it, you know, becomes bigger over the years for sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you guys, how does the, so if a, you know, say a YL is listening and they want to kind of jump in, obviously it's on the 8th. Do you guys have a set time you're running to, you know, so if people wanted to work you or, you know, work the stations, is there a specific like kind of, syntax or, you know, or is it just basically kind of just treat it like a regular proto activation?
Yeah.
So, you know, I always said, you know, it's just anytime on March 8th from like, you know, zero local time until, you know, 3:59 local time. But people get so stressed out about that. You know, even last year, people were like, well, why don't you do UTC? Because everything in ham radio is UTC. Sure. And, you know, to me, I'm like, you guys are just making it way too complicated. It's not a contest.
Right.
You don't have to submit your logs to me. It's just about going out there and getting on the air and having fun. So as long as you guys got out there sometime on the 8th, and as long as you made a few contacts, as long as you had fun, then that's what it's all about to me.
So you don't want to turn International Women's Day into like a field day for women?
I mean, it could be. I'm not saying no to that.
All weekend. Right. Well, that'd be very cool. Yeah. So, all right. Well, it sounds like, you know, it For most in general, like that weekend is obviously going to be very busy. Hopefully there's no, you know, major solar flares or anything like that to impede, you know, communications, but all the better for folks to get out there and just, you know, have some fun. Do you, how do you guys usually do your operation setup? You know, you running multiple stations, like obviously Angela and Judy, you guys had a couple of ladies all show up for your event. Did you guys run multiple stations? What's that kind of look like for you? Because obviously I'm sure a lot of our listeners are like, what are they running for gear? I want to know.
Okay. Well, in my case, because it's winter here, I have my igloo ice fishing hut that I use for POTA. And with my little buddy heater, we didn't really need it. Four of us were in my tent, and Angela has a great setup in her camper. And we had a pretty good time. You know, it's like, please stand by for the next operator, please stand by. So there were four of us, and Parker Dam is a twofer with the Shannon State Forest. And we had one gentleman, the bands weren't, 20 was starting to fade, and we had one gentleman that one of us got, and by the time we passed it, the signal was lost. And he came back a little bit later, and he says, there's four of you. He says, I have to get all of you. And
Hunter Gold.
Yeah. So, I mean, we had a really good time and laughing, because they're not used to getting four YLs at one time.
No, that was a blast.
And, and a twofer. That's a pretty good contact there.
It was. So
now how many contacts did you guys, do you remember how many you you made on that day?
I think I don't remember. 150.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah. That's so awesome. Yeah, and so how what modes you guys primarily use? Just phone, or you guys mix the CW and phone, or?
Well, I'm single sideband phone, okay. And what was nice about our operation is none of the other ladies that were in the tent with me had ever done POTA before. So not only they got used to the headphones, although we had the mic, and I use the program I use is N3FJP. So they got to see how that works. And just learning how to talk on the radio, especially if you've got a pileup, you know, what's a good way to handle this? How do you do that? So I think they learned a lot. And I know at least one of them is now doing POTA activations.
Now, in the camper, I was also doing SSTV. I was sending out POTA certificates on the SSTV.
Very cool. That is a mode that is always forgotten by a lot of, like, even during field days, a lot of times, like, oh, SSTV, I got to do that.
Yeah, it's a lot of, I like doing it when you can take a picture at your event and then send it with your call sign included. That's so much fun.
That is a very cool mode. Now, do you guys do any other of the digital modes at all? You guys FT8 users or JCA calls or any of that?
When the bands are poor, I'll do FT8 just because it'll get me my successful.
Yep. Very cool. Now,
should Eric tell you guys what he does when the bands are bad?
No, that's
Come on, Eric, tell him.
That's my tail question. I've got a follow up to that. We'll dive back in. I promise I'll go back.
Oh, come on.
But all right, you're going to make me go to my question pool already. All right. Well, so, you know, I was going to say, you know, we all know that, you know, in general, when a YL gets on the air, you know, their voices always punch through the pileups all the time.
They do.
My question to you guys is what do YLs use when they're on the air when they want to punch through, you know, a regular pileup? It's like, do they, you know, do they turn up the cuteness factor? I don't know. Like, I'm curious.
I do adjust the radio to give myself a higher pitch if I need it.
All right. You heard it here. Janet, any tricks and tips or tricks that you might throw at that?
No, you know, they do say the YLs get like 10 dB of gain. So, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yep.
But yeah.
For my daughter, her first experience with field day, she was told that, and she got in front of the radio and nobody responded to her.
Oh no.
All a bunch of liars. And I'm like, no, it's serious. Well, it's the way it works.
Yeah, but let's talk about the day that I was trying to on field day and trying for 30 minutes to make contact. Nothing. She says, you want me to try? And she gets on and boom, immediately. I was like, what?
I agree.
Then she just took over the station and she was going for it.
Yeah. My husband always says that's not fair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell your husband he needs to use a recording of you. and it's gaining that edge
because that is what Eric does when he can't make contacts and the bands are bad. He has a recording of his daughter.
Oh,
you see, Angela, right? That's cheating, don't you think?
My break glass. I don't use it all the time.
And then they get the hunters get all mad. They're like, well, where's the YL?
Yeah.
I don't know. She's home sleeping or something.
You just have to auto patch her in.
Yeah.
Beside the
bait and switch.
All right. So, yeah, cool. So, it sounds like, so let's kind of shift gears a little bit and we'll dive back to the POTA party event in a second. I'm curious to see kind of like what your POTA experience has been like and what you guys do, you know, in terms of your activations. I assume you're pretty avid, pretty active in making, you know, activations. I saw, you know, I did a little sleuthing and checked out your POTA stats there. So, you know, I'm very impressed and and very cool to see you guys are super active. So, well, let's start with Shannon. So, you know, kind of what's your preference when you do activations? You know, how often do you do them? What's kind of your MO when you're out there, doing activations?
So, you know, when the weather's a little nicer, so, you know, kind of in the fall and spring while my son's at school, I have a little bit of time. So I'll drive down to my closest POTA park, which I'm very lucky is only about 5 minutes away from my house, Lynn Beach Reservation. That's why I have a kilo there. And, you know, I'll usually park and set up depending on if I'm going to activate from in the car or, from outside the car. I used to only have a G90. That's what I had last year for the POTA party. Now I've kind of upgraded. I have a Yaesu FT710. So it'll be exciting this year to have that 100 watts and see how much better I do now. But that's pretty much it. I'll usually go and, you know, operate for, you know, a couple hours. And, you know, depending on the band conditions, like last year at the POTA party, I had 135 contacts within about 2 or 3 hours,
wow.
I think. And that was with the G90 20 watts doing SSB.
There you go. You know, see, there's the magic mix right there. That's the perfect storm. You know, YL, 20 watts and a great antenna. You're pulling in that many contacts. I struggle sometimes when I'm out doing my 1 or 2 hour activations to maybe even pull 70 in some cases. So very jealous of the numbers there just alone. So, Angela, we'll start with you, Angela. So kind of what's your, MO and when you activate, what do you prefer and, what do you run?
I run a Yaesu 450D, and it depends on where the location is, depends on what kind of antenna we are setting up. Matt's asking me to send him a recording. Oh, that's my husband there. He's listening in. So we run multiple different types of antennas. He's usually running CW as I'm running voice. So we are trying to not compete with each other. We're out every weekend, so we do lots of POTA and lots of different places. But I'm not a big person to sit down and call CQ a lot. I do a lot more hunting than I do calling CQ. But I did do some CQ this past week ago, and I did do quite well. I got like 70 contacts in an hour, so it was really kind of cool.
That's more than 1 a minute.
Oh yeah, it was crazy. I was like, this is crazy. It was 20 meters, so 20 meters is always really good at that time of day, so it was really nice. But we go out camping all winter long, and just we have a lot of fun out there, and we'd like to go a lot of different parks, so that's what one of our things.
Now, do you guys fight over the radio time or no?
No, we each have our own Ray setups because we found we can't share.
There we go. Secret to marriage right there, folks.
Our own radios. We each have a 450D, and we have our own sizes of the camper and everything.
There we go. That's a perfect marriage.
Yep.
Very cool. Awesome. Well, 450D was my very first radio, so I have a very close affinity for that radio. Love it.
Love it.
I passed it on to radio. Ham down in North Carolina, and he's having a ball with it. So, it's in a good home, but it's a great radio. It was awesome to learn on. So, yeah, you've got a special place in my heart with that one.
Cool.
So, Judy, how are you with, your setup? Where do you play? What's your, MO?
Okay. I have a Kenwood radio, and I have it in a really nice case along with an amplifier. I have a little bit of problem hearing, so that really helps, especially when I use headphones. My husband always drives. He doesn't like the idea of me going into the parks by myself, even though I have a concealed carry permit. So I call him my antenna guy.
Assistant.
Yeah. I typically operate 100 watt single sideband. And my antenna is an Alpha Hextenna, which I absolutely love.
Very cool.
Okay. I will operate always single sideband, typically starting on 20 meters, switching over to 40. I like to try some of the other bands, 10, 17, 12. And then I like to get a lot under my belt, like typical activation. I want to at least get 150 if I'm going to be out. Sometimes I get 200, 300, depending, 70 in an hour, kind of like Angela. Mm-hmm. I think my POTA QSOs are 44,000. I guess that's about
we're in the royalty here, my friend. Like, you guys are putting me to shame. I was looking at my stats. I'm just like, oh, I feel comfortable with that. No, I'm a newbie POTA person, and I've been doing POTA for 4 years. So,
well, the actual POTA, I think is, it really helped me with, the other things that I do, like the Pennsylvania QSO party, in my class, I, have won it 4 years. 1 year I came in second. And then I also do Groundhog Day, which just passed. And I'm also help with Fire Safety Week. So that all, you know, keeps my mouth working.
Now, have you tried any other modes, or are you just primarily just sideband only? And that's kind of where you go.
I can do FT8. But it drives me nuts. It's so slow. I don't know how people do it.
Yes.
Well, when you're 70 contacts in an hour, yeah, of course it's slow.
It's slow and it's boring.
So the only time I do FT8 is when I'm working from home and I'm doing paperwork. I can kind of do it on the side and make contacts. Besides that, it's like staring. I mean, we did do, what was that, the FT8? What was that game we played?
Oh, FT8 bingo?
FT8
off.
The FT8 off, which was, I think it was on Thursday. It was a lot of fun just because we were all guys in our club would chat on that. So that made it kind of more fun. But yeah, regularly, it's just like I never really understood it. It's like the computer does all the things, and now with some of the versions, it'll just do it by itself. So it's kind of cheating in my mind. I like doing sideband. I think at some point, once I get my extra and my kids grow up and I get bored, I'll try to learn CW. But right now, it's just extra studying, and so these guys will stop harassing me. It's the only reason I'm doing it, because they just won't let me. They just make fun of me.
That's my goal this year too, is get my extra.
Well, there you go. It's a lot harder. It's a lot harder than your general, at least studying for. There's a lot of information.
Yeah.
So it's been taking me a long time, and I've been like slack. I get too busy and then I forget to study. So I'm really trying to crack down now. And I did an hour today, and obviously I didn't do long enough because I got them all.
You get cracked under pressure.
Yeah, I agree. Hamstudy.org is how I got my extra. It's an awesome study tool.
It really is.
You know what I love about it is that you can have the question mark. So if you get it wrong, it'll pull up like right away and you can see. Or if you don't know, you can hit the question mark. But it works really well. And I like it that it keeps throwing back. If you put them all in at once, like, so I started with section one and then you add two and it'll do all two and then it'll go back to some section one and then you add three, it'll go through the threes and then go back. So you kind of get that. Mm-hmm. But my problem is I take the whole test and I do terrible. So I've got a 80%+ on each level, and then I take the whole test and I'm not even close. So, but we'll get there someday.
I got to ask, right? So I know that the three of us on the top all have our own respective favorite POTA park. And it is the park that we absolutely hands down love to go to. For me, it's Russell Abbott State Forest. It's in Mason. You need four-wheel drive to get there. It's an absolutely beautiful spot.
It is.
So Angela, favorite POTA park, where do you love to go?
I'm going to have to say Allegheny National Forest. It's just over the PA border from me, and it's one of the largest forests in eastern Europe, eastern Pennsylvania, or eastern United States, and I absolutely love it. It's my backyard from growing up, so I'm from that area, but it just so many opportunities out there, so much beauty. I like hiking and biking out there too.
Shannon.
I'm going to have to say the park that I've activated the most, US 2445, which is Lynn Beach and the Hot State Reservation.
That one I like a lot. Lynn Beach, I can't get down that far all the time. I don't have clients that allow me to get into Lynn, but I've done that park, and it's a great park, especially in good weather.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, it's 5 minutes from my house. So, you know, where else can I leave, you know, 20 minutes before I have to pick my son up from school and still make it in time to grab him? So
there we go.
That works.
Okay, squeeze a POTA in and, you know.
Exactly, you know.
As long as you know that you can actually, like, balance your watch, the time and the drive time, and you can say last call and mean last call, Todd.
All right, Judy, what about you?
I would probably have to say I'm very fortunate where we live in North Central Pennsylvania. I am surrounded by parks. I have one about 10 minutes away and three within 15 minutes. Again, I like Parker Dam, which is a twofer with Moshannon State Forest. And there's also S.B. Elliott Park, which is only about 10 minutes away, which, of course, is a twofer. There's several state game lands around me. But because Moshannon State Forest is a twofer with both S.B. Elliott and Parker Dam, I have over 8,000 contacts at that park. And again, the heated restroom is a winner for me. There's nothing worse than traipsing to an outhouse in the snow. I would say both Parker. The only thing I don't like about Parker Dam is there is no signal there. So you can't spot yourself. It's the only thing I don't like about it, but it's a nice park.
But you know, you already have the advantage. So once you just get on the air and start calling, it's like, you know, it's already in the bag. It's like you'll get on the RBN in a matter of a couple of seconds. So, so cool. All right. Yeah. All right. So I got to go ahead. You got one. Fire.
Okay. So one more is it tails off of what Judy was just saying, right? So now I know you said you use AC log when you did the International Women's Day, but when you go out to your parks, are you on polo? Are you using hammers? Are you using N3FJP? What are you using? We'll start with Judy and go backwards.
I use N3FJP. I love it.
All the time.
All the time.
Okay. Shannon?
You guys are going to think I'm crazy. I log on paper.
Oh.
I log on paper and then I come home and I transfer it into hammers.
Wow. We have a friend that we need to connect you up with. Tim Casey, 1QDK. I don't know if he's in the chat there at all, but him and his wife go out and do POTA parks and stuff like that. And they're in Manchester, and he will not, he has yet used a logger yet that I've, you know, seen him go to first. He always goes to paper.
You know, honestly, I've heard so many people when they're doing POTA and then they're like, oh, wait a minute, my logging program is frozen. I can't log anything. Or, you know, people lose their whole POTA log because hammers messes up. I feel like I can write faster with a pen and paper than I can type people's call signs in to hammers. So, and when you're getting those, you know, 70 contacts an hour, like Angela said, you know, I've definitely experienced that where I've counted up my number of contacts and I'm like, oh my gosh, I had more than one contact a minute here.
Yeah.
Which is very impressive.
Yeah. My handwriting.
I have been using hammers for a while until I just recently got into polo. I met
Marcus.
The guy, yeah, Marcus. I met Marcus at Hamcation the last 2 years, and he just he's really got me into the Polo. It's an awesome app. The ease of use and the interconnectivity with POTA and how it spots and everything. I just really enjoy it.
That's what I use. I love it. Mm-hmm. I used Hammer, but, and then I switched.
Yep.
So Eric just sort of touched on something that he said very quietly that I don't think anybody else heard, but about his handwriting.
That's yeah. me.
And I That's have me. Definitely, yes. So even though I do log on pen and paper, sometimes I do go back and I look at it and I'm like, wait a minute, what was that call sign again?
All of my call signs would be horribly. You know,
I have had to learn to make sure that I mark my V's and my U's very carefully, yes. my O's and my zeros. And sometimes I'll even write next to it if the person tells me where they were from, so that when I do go back and look it up, I make sure that it matches up.
I went to Catholic school and my handwriting was bad because the nuns would whack me on the wrists all the time.
So the rulers.
That's that. Nope. Yep. There
are the rulers. That's part of the reason. Part of the reason I like N3FJP is I have it set up. As soon as you enter the call sign, it pulls up their first name. And it also tells me what state they're from. So I like being real personal with it. And I'll say, hi, Gary. Call them by their first name. And yep. if they tell me what state, they give me their QTH. And if what I'm seeing on my screen does not equal what they have told me, then I will question them. Maybe I heard them wrong and I have a wrong call sign in there. And so that method keeps me from entering an incorrect call sign too. So that's the other plus of using it.
Same with Polo.
Yeah, Polo's got a nice note section. So like Polo feature I really love a lot is that if you keep adding logs to Polo, it actually pulls into the old log. So if you worked a previous contact in another log, when you type it in again, they're like, oh, you've worked this person before. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And my memory is just garbage. So I can never remember who I worked unless it happens to be someone that has like a call sign that like kind of like has a melodic rhythm to it or something like that I remember. And they say it in a funny way that you remember like, oh yeah. Like I have one guy, Bruce, can't remember his call sign now. But anyway, the way he says it every time, Paul's looking at me like it's pretty bad. Every time he says it, it's like, I know it's him and it's like, oh, I can pick it back up again. But I have to rely on those tools.
And I like the part that it's even when you don't have any signals to pull from QRZ or anything, if it's in your previous logs, when you work them, they'll pull up all their information from your previous logs. So it's really good that it interconnects that way too.
I like on Polo how if you're what I like to do is sometimes either when I start, I'll start hunting. So I'll go through the logs and see who I can hear and where the best part is. And I normally do that at the beginning and then I call CQ and then maybe at the end I do it. But what's cool about Polo is you can go on their site. And then once you find one and you hear them and you start, trying to get a hunting contact with them, you click it, it all comes up on there. It's all done on your log and you're ready to go. You don't have to worry about the park or anything. So it's pretty cool. And I also like that you just, if it's a US park, all you got to do is type in the number. You don't have to do the US, which is huge. Especially when you have multiple parks, like that always slows you down. It goes a lot quicker.
Yep.
But no, I think go ahead.
I was going to say, I was going to switch gears a little bit because I'm curious to see what you guys have for favorite antennas. But if you want to finish your thought, go ahead, Paul. Todd, I keep doing that.
No, that's fine. No, I was just, I think all the logs, I mean, they all have, I mean, everyone has their preferences. You know, I use the one Judy uses as my log for my main log at home, at the QTH, and I import everything into that one. So I just use the, the other one just when doing POTA or if I'm away from my whatever I'm doing, if I'm not at the QTH, I use that and then I just import everything into the main one.
All right. So I got to ask, what's the favorite antenna? Because everyone's got one and I know you have probably many, but what's your favorite go-to? What do you guys use to when you're doing your activations? Start with Angela.
I'd say probably my most used one is my Chameleon N-Fed random wire.
Okay.
My most used Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. Why? I'm curious.
Because I can use it on any band. I can be switching around and doing it. I'd like to use like some of the more obscure bands, like 15, 12. And so I like to go some of those smaller bands, and I get some more overseas that way. I get the Europe and Asia and stuff like that. So I like the versatility. They're
definitely a lot quieter.
Yeah. Yes, oh, that awesome. Too. Okay.
Denon, go ahead. What's your favorite?
So mine is really weird. I use Hustler antenna coils, actually, that I got from a swap. A guy sold me like, I think it was 10, 15, 20, 40, 75, and the triple mast for like $40.
Wow.
And so yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So I use that with like the MFJ triple magnet mount on the roof of my car.
Mm-hmm.
I usually put the 10, the 15, and the 20 coil on there. And with the G90, I was able to tune up, you know, 12 and 17 with that. It doesn't do quite as well on the FT710, but most of my antennas, most of my contacts that I get, I start at 10 meters in the technician portion of 10 meters. And sometimes I don't even get off of that.
Wow. Good place to start.
Yeah. That's my favorite.
Miles, I'm still on.
We got a future, YouTuber in the woods there.
Yeah. I love 10 meters, especially like doing POTA. It's just, I've always thought that's always been my favorite. And with it being so good lately, I used to always start with 20, but now I just start off with 10, and hopefully I can make the contacts. And if I'm not, he can always go to 20, but yeah, 10's always been. I've made some cool contacts on 10 meters, including Alaska, which I need Alaska for worked all, no, not a park, but work all parks. I need Hawaii and Alaska, right? So yeah. I go, you guys at a park? And the guy's like, no. I'm like, oh, man, come on. Can you go
I'm
to a park?
I'm the same way.
Right? It's like, I got everything else. I
only
Montana.
Need Alaska.
So I'm going out. I'm going out to California next month to see my brother's turning 50. So going out for his birthday party for a long weekend. So I figured if I'm out in California, even if I can set it up in his backyard, I have a really good shot at making Hawaii or Alaska. So that's my goal. Go.
Hopefully.
We'll see.
So, Judy, what's your go-to?
My Alpha Hextenna. And because it covers pretty much all the bands except 6 meters, I get fantastic coverage with it. And just like everyone else, I also like doing 10 meters, but I do it in the technician's band.
That's a good place to start.
I like giving, helping them make contacts. Mm-hmm. So it's my Alpha.
Very cool. So I got a question. I'm curious to see kind of obviously your starts in POTA. You know, obviously you guys have been doing it for a little while now. What was there a person specific, maybe an Elmer in your life that kind of, led you towards maybe getting into POTA, or was it just something you just kind of saw and you just wanted to get in and do it? You know, what's kind of, what was the impetus, or what was the driving force to move you guys to get into POTA and do it so much that you guys, obviously it bleeds and oozes from every, area in your life. I'm sure you're probably like me and you're like, I got time on my hands. I can go do a POTA. So we'll start with you, Shannon. What was it? You have a mentor or something in your life that kind of dragged you there, or you just jump right in?
Yeah. So my mentor is actually in the chat right now. If he's still in there, Mike Zero Juliet Echo Oscar over in the UK. He pretty much is the person that when I first started out wanting to get my ham radio license, he really helped me and encouraged me. And then once I did get my license and I was thinking about what radio to get first, I live in the city. So he was like, don't spend, $1,500 on a super expensive home base station when you don't even know you could have an S9 noise floor at your house and you won't be able to hear anything. He was like, get the G90, get like 70 feet of wire and go out into the woods somewhere and just see what you can hear, see who you can talk to, and see what you can do. So that was pretty much how I started. And unfortunately, you know, Lynn Woods is not a state park or a national park, so it doesn't count as POTA, but it was still a great place to go and play radio. And then, you know, once I kind of got more used to that, and I found out more about, you know, actual POTA, I started looking up, you know, where there were different POTA parks around here. And I found, you know, the Lynn Heritage State Park there. And I actually, the part of it that was included in POTA was really small. It used to be just the Lynn Heritage State Park. Mm-hmm. But I got in touch with the mapping coordinator and I said, hey, if you look at, you know, the map, DCR actually controls all this beach here. So can we get that added to, you know, the actual park? And they said yes. So they literally added it within like 2 seconds after I talked to them. And another part of the reason why I kind of got involved with it was I wanted to be one of the people for the 13 colonies. And so when I got in touch with the coordinator for that, they were like, well, do you have any experience running a pileup? And I was like, not really. So, you know, they were like, well, why don't you go try to like do some POTAs, get some more experience running pileups, and then come back and talk to us. So that's definitely one of my goals maybe for this this July is to be one of the activators for the 13 colonies events for Massachusetts.
Very cool. That'd be awesome. Yeah, awesome. We have a few friends that do that. Yeah, it's good event to be part of. How about you, Angela?
Actually, the person I run my YouTube channel with is Hammond Quackers, is Junie N1DUC. She's did a presentation in our YL group on LICW and about POTA, and that got me started. And then, of course, she reached out to me to help her with the channel also. So she's my mentor for POTA, and now we do all kinds of stuff together.
Awesome. That's very cool. I always love to see those stories. You know, Todd's a, you know, direct him and I, that's how we connect. Actually, all three of us. I mean, we fall in that same boat. You know, Todd got his general. I took him out to do a POTA. We bumped into Paul and on the, you know, repeater and said, hey, come do POTA with us. And, you know, we haven't stopped. So it's good to see that.
Yeah. It was like that first POTA we did at the rail trail. Paul and I showed up and we're like, you know what you're doing? I said, I only did this once. He's like, no, not really. And then Eric came and that was the start, and look where we are now. We're we do a podcast and do POTA activations, and it's been awesome.
Cool. All right, well, hey Judy, how about you? What's your kind of you know, how did you get into the hobby?
It was back in 2019. A friend took us out to Moshannon State Forest just to do ham radio. And I made contact with someone. I was still a technician on 10 meters, and they said they were doing POTA. And I'm like, what is that? And they, you know, they told me, I looked it up, and that was kind of it. That was the impetus for me to get my general. So that's what it was.
Very cool. Awesome. I'd like the natives are getting a little restless there, Shannon. Put them in front of a radio. They'll be good.
So do you most of your ham radio out in the field doing POTA stuff, or do you guys do you do any of it in your shack, or do you even have a shack?
I do have a shack, but I basically just do 2 meter nets and stuff like that on in here. But I do have an HF radio. I just never get on it here at the house. Right. We're out every weekend, so I don't need to get on it here.
Yeah. Yeah.
My shack is my living room. So, you know, as you can hear with the little voice in the background, it's a little hard to, you know, sit down and have time to get on the air, but every morning, usually Monday through Friday, I do join a local 2 meter net on the New Hampshire N1 HSY repeater, the Pokey net, if I'm allowed to plug that on here. It's Actually, I met the guys when I was on my way to a POTA one morning after I dropped my son off at school, and I had the radio scanning and I heard them come on, and they were just the friendliest bunch of guys. I think it was right before International Women's Day last year, actually. And they were super welcoming to me to join in and chat with them. So
time out. You were scanning repeaters and you found activity. So the repeaters aren't dead.
No.
That episode hasn't left yet. It hasn't been released yet.
Yeah. You guys will get that after it gets released. We just did up recording on repeaters and whether or not they're alive or dead or not. So it's kind of an inside joke for now.
Cool. All right. So let's kind of circle back around, because I obviously want to, you know, I know how kids are having my own and whatnot, that they definitely want your attention as much as you can. So let's kind of circle back around a little bit and talk a little bit about wrapping up International Women's Day. And obviously, for those that are in the chat that may not know, it's coming up. It's on March 8th. And as Shannon said, it's basically, you know, UTC 002, 2359, you know, pretty much all day Saturday.
Local time. She's whatever local your time. Local time is.
See, I'm always screwing it up. See, local time all day. So, from a standpoint of, say, someone, maybe a club or a few ladies, or just in general, you know, they want to, you know, promote this in their club. You know, what can they pass on for information? You know, in a quick kind of summary to get them to, you know, maybe start to, you know, get other ladies in their club active and involved in it. What can they you know, pass on for information? Just kind of in a quick bullet.
Well, I can definitely, I think I already sent you guys the flyer. So
yeah, we'll put that,
you know, if you guys want to post that, or like I said, people can email me, I can send them the flyer. But I mean, basically just get out there, get on the air, and let your voices be heard. And like I said, you know, more experienced YLs, get together with, you know, maybe less experienced YLs and just help each other out.
Very cool. Yeah, definitely. I would say if you can, you know, definitely, you know, find other people that are maybe experienced, like Shannon said, and mm-hmm. and get them out there and do activations. And if not, would you still, you know, consider, you know, them if they can hunt from their own shacks to be, you know, involved in that process too?
Yes, definitely. That actually is on the flyer too, because, you know, some women even say, like, you know, I don't have time to go out and do an activation, or I don't have a portable radio. Like, even just getting on the air and hunting from home, either, you know, not just hunting YLs either, but just hunting any POTA stations that you hear on the air, and, you know, just let people know that, hey, women are out there and we're on the radio and we are active.
Cool. It's an awesome thing to see. I know we have a lot of ladies in our club that, you know, we try to make sure that they get a voice, and they're a part of all of the stuff going on, and they can do some, you know, we have a lot of ladies that are very good CW, and they put me to shame. And I just sit there and go, yeah, I also hear is bleep, 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 blah, blah, blah. And they're like, yeah, they can do 20 words a minute. And it's like, they're just, you know, phenomenal in that sense, but they're very active. They love doing, you know, POTA and just in general playing radio. So it's always awesome to see, and always makes the hobby that much better to have you guys obviously in it, but you know, instead of a whole bunch of old white guys, you know, I'm sorry. It's not a big thing for me any longer. I've been in the hobby a long time. So, all right, cool. So let's wrap this up. I usually like to do, you know, like tie this up a little bit, but I thought we should do a little bit of a speed round. And so what I'm going to ask you ladies, and we're just going to throw five kind of quick questions at you. And it's basically a speed round. So, you know, I'll give you a this or that kind of scenario, and you got to answer very quickly off the cuff. No explanation needed. And it's all around POTA. So, you know, we don't have to worry about going too far off the beaten path there. But so, you know, we'll start with, you know, Judy, and we'll work across to Shannon and end with Angela, and see kind of where we go. So this will hopefully be a little eye opening. I'm curious. All right. So first question, we'll start here for a speed round is, you prefer, when you're doing POTA, winter, spring, or summer? Spring or summer is kind of the same thing, but yeah.
Fall.
You missed fall.
No, I didn't.
Okay, then spring. If you're not going to take fall, spring.
Because every woman likes fall. I don't like, it's just guaranteed. Okay, so Judy, you said spring. Okay, what about you, Shannon?
Spring.
Okay. Angela?
I'm going to have to say summer.
Oh, okay. Good. Yeah, I'm a summer person too. I'm born in January, so I hate the cold. All right, next one. If you could only do one, would it be an activator or hunter?
Oh, activator.
Activator.
Okay.
I'm going to say hunter.
Wow. Okay.
But from a park. So it's park to park.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's good. Okay. Yeah. So I can tell by Judy and Shannon, you probably love the pileup.
Yeah.
that's definitely, a thing of an activator. All right. So next one's antenna related. If you could have only one, vertical or wire?
Wire.
Okay. Wire.
Yeah, good. We're all in the same boat there. All right. Next one is, if you could only operate in one mode, would it be operating the car or on a park bench?
Oh, park bench.
Ooh.
Well, Shannon's in New England, so she knows.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna have to say car, just in case if the weather's bad, you know.
Got the AC, right? You can run on the AC. Okay, cool. All right. And the last one, as I always ask, QRP or QRO?
QRP.
Yeah, QRP.
Okay. Wow.
It depends on what you're calling QRP.
Either or. QRP is 20 watts or less. 20 watts or less is my book. QRO is 100 watts or more.
I'll say QRP.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, that. You guys do have the benefit of, when you call out there, you're guaranteed to get somebody to pick you up. I mean, when I run 20 watts, it's like I suffer badly for a long time before it happens. But I rely heavily on the spotting page. So cool.
I did one whole activation without realizing it was on 10 watts.
Wow.
That's oh my awesome. Gosh.
And how many contacts did you net?
Probably about 50.
Jeez.
That works.
Oh man, whether I should turn my POTA gear and get new gear.
I think we should start hanging out with them and go to parks. Get some more contacts in there.
Shannon's in, she's in Massachusetts, which, you come up to it in New Hampshire, we've got a POTA meetup coming up in the spring. We'll have to, I'll send you the invite.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Because I haven't activated a park in New Hampshire yet.
Oh, yeah.
Either. I New Hampshire's not that far from New York, so.
You especially, and Angela, I keep forgetting you're in New York. And
I'm in Buffalo. Just not terribly that far, Judy. I'm the west side, okay. I can do it.
So, hey, I got one other question. Have you guys ever done like a rove?
Mm-hmm. I did a 9-park rove last year.
Where'd you do it at?
North Central Pennsylvania around State College, including state game lands. Once Pennsylvania brought all the state game lands, there are over 330 state game lands. We only had 56 state parks, and that was our total. So achieving all the state parks in Pennsylvania used to be a reasonable goal, but then they brought all 330 plus state game lands into the POTA system, and now no way.
There you go.
Yeah,
and hold my beer. Yeah. I'm gonna show you better.
Is a rove considered only in one day?
Yeah,
yes, it's a full 24 hour Zulu day. So
I did a 2-week trip to Florida, and we did a different park every day.
Oh, dude, that would have been awesome. We did that. I did that on the way to South Carolina, and I hit parks in every state except Pennsylvania, which I'm kind of bummed at. But very cool.
Shannon, have you done one?
I have not done a rove.
Well, you live close enough that Eric and I did one. I think it was 2 years ago now. Has it been that long, Eric?
About 2 years. Yep.
But you start working up the coast from Massachusetts to Maine. There's parks like every 10 minutes, and on the beach, and we worked 10 meters all day, and we're booming into Europe. We had a guy follow us every part from, I think he was from Italy, right? Was he Italy?
Oh, I believe it.
So it was fun. It's really fun. If you can get, we did it in, either October or November. It was a rare day. It was like going to be 80 degrees. So we both took off work and said, screw it, we're doing this. And we were planning on what, 9 or 10, but we only got 7. One of them was closed off because they were doing something, right?
You're going to blame that one that was closed off. You couldn't say QRT. Every time we got to 10, I was like, we got to go on. And you couldn't say QRT to move on to the next park. We had to wait till you clean up the 15 or so people that were asking to, you know, make contact with us. So, yeah.
And then one more thing, because it's Women's Day, I was almost late to this live stream because I was out with my ladies. And what that means is I used to work in an office where I worked with a prosecutor because I do juvenile probation. So I worked with our prosecutor and then 3 other women in my office. And we just all hit it off, worked really well together. And we all left and went to different offices. So we try to get together as maybe once a year, twice a year. So I was out to dinner with them. So I wanted to give them a shout out. So it's Steph, Krista, Vanessa, and Candace. And I'm the only guy. So when we go out to dinner, I look like a stud because I got all these beautiful women hanging out with me. And I asked my wife, I said, you want to come with me this time? She's like, no, you'll just talk about work crap, which is true. But I told them, I said, I got to leave because I got to get on this live stream. And they wanted me to just give them a shout out. So I don't know if they're on here watching or not, but wanted to do that. Since it's Women's Day, I figured it's appropriate. Yep.
Very cool. All right. Well, so to kind of wrap things up here a little bit, you know, if any of our listeners wanted to reach out to any of you guys about either, you know, activating a park, learning more about POTA, maybe meeting up with you, what's the best way they can reach out to you? And we'll start with Judy.
My best way is probably on QRZ. My email is there. It's a very long email, so I'm not going to give it to you here, but it's on QRZ. Just email me.
Awesome. All right. How about you, Shannon?
Yeah, I mean, I'm good on QRZ too, and my email address is on there. Like I said, it's just kc1oht@gmail.com. Really easy to remember. So anyone is welcome to reach out to me, get more information about Women's Day. And if they're in the area and they want to meet up for a POTA, then we can definitely try to make that happen.
Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome. All right, how about you, Andrea?
Same thing, QRZ or N3ARB@gmail.com. They're both there.
And we also have your YouTube channel that you do with N1DUC that we'll throw there in the link there too. So go check out some of that content with Angela and Junie there. And yep. And you know, all the ducks, everyone knows the ducks. They're very famous. So I don't need to say anything more than that. It was great to have you guys on. It was so awesome to talk about POTA. And Shannon, you know, and even Angela, we are going to have you guys up to Norton, New Hampshire and have you experience our parks up here. But when we have that POTA meetup, we'll send it your guys way and we'd love to have you guys come and hang out and play some, ham radio up in New Hampshire.
Sounds good.
Definitely. I'd love it.
Awesome. Excellent. Cool. All right. Well, with that, guys, as always, you know, please make sure you like and subscribe. And, you know, if you haven't joined our Discord, you can always head over there. Our link's in our show notes, as always, but it's always on our website as well. And you can find all of our cool, great merch at livefreeandham.com/shop. And if you want, you can always send us a review or send us questions or anything via our SMS link. Or you can use our lovely number, which, you know, you might as well run that, wonderful bean footage there real quick there, Paul. You've got your finger on the button. Yes, Chris, that is a real number. You can call and leave us a voicemail. I promise you, we will play your voicemail on our next episode. So, yeah, it's not a spam, and it's definitely not a prank call. So, once again, all with the amazing, you know, musical, you know, numbers there. So, cool. All right. Well, to wrap it up, as always, you know, you can support our show as always through Patreon and buy us a beer links, and those are all located in our show notes. And if you want to reach out to any of our hosts, you can always head over to livefreeandham.com. And as always, from all of us, and including all these great ladies here, and POTA and Luna International Day, thanks again for listening. And from all of us, 7-3.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.